Mood Gym with Don Brown. Do a little reviewing today on what we've talked about in the last sessions. And if you haven't listened to some of the previous ones, this might be a good time to listen to a couple of them, especially the ones where we talked about choosing your values or your vision. Back a few weeks back, we had a topic of how to have 2020 vision. And then the following week, we talked about acceptance and commitment and mentioned those, gave you a list of a couple dozen possible values that you could choose from. So the idea is we're trying to live our life according to our values, which includes goals, but the values are of the utmost importance. So if you go back to those couple of podcasts, the 2020 vision, we gave you a list of a bunch of values that you could choose among, or you could add your own, of course. But the idea is to choose about 12 or 13 of those visions or values and write those down so that they're readily available to you all the time. And then as you're going through your days and weeks, you can see if your behavior and if your thinking in your mind is going toward those values or away from your values. And that's kind of our theme here. So I'll go over a couple of those values that I've chosen in this podcast in a few minutes. And also want to remind you that our practices of training our minds to move toward those values only takes a few minutes a day. And last time we talked about training your mind to be aware, be mindful, using a technique of noticing your breathing by the method of using a specific type of counting. And that counting was we do four, count to four, breathing in, hold the breath for seven counts, and then exhale for eight counts. So it was like a 4, 7, 8. And I wanted to give you another technique that may be equally useful for you to train your attention and train your mindfulness. And I'll do that in a few minutes as well. And we began this series of podcasts talking about how my life is kind of related very well to my early years of learning to fly small airplanes, and how that we always have a checklist as pilots that we must go through during our preparations to fly, as well as actually when you're flying. And we started out on one of the past podcasts talking about our starting checklist, and I went over that. There's about 10 or so items on that list. And then the next time we talked about checklists was a checklist for airplane pilots of after you start the engine, and there's about 6 or so items on that list. And then last week we talked about the checklist for before taking off, and there are about 17 items on that one. So far, before we've left the ground to fly, we've had about 33 or so items on a checklist. So if you think about preparing your life and moving toward those values, it could be comparable that there's a lot of things you can put on your little list to do while you're preparing for this journey of your life, again, moving toward those values that you want to choose. All right, this week, we have now done our pre-starting checklist, our after-starting the engine checklist, and our before-takeoff checklist. Now we'll go to after we take off. Okay, so we're on the runway, and we've run up the engine and barreling down the runway, depending on the airplane, you might be going 60, 70 miles an hour. And then you're at that speed, depending on the airplane, your airplane will start flying. And I don't know what this has to do with anything, but I just have to think. I often ask people in our small town, what's the fastest moving thing in our town? And it actually is the airplanes taking off at the airport, which is in the city limits of the town, because they're going at least 60 or 70 miles an hour as they're going down the runway. And of course, in the town, you're not loud, or nor would you want to go that fast on our city streets. But anyway, so now we're on our checklist for after takeoff. Okay, so we've done these 33 or so before takeoff items on our checklist. Okay, now our after takeoff list is kind of surprisingly only four items, at least in the particular airplane that I was flying, which was a Piper Comanche, a little four-seater high performance aircraft with retractable landing gear. And so there's only four items. Okay. And if you think about your life, as you're getting ready to move on through your life and set up these values and goals and so forth, you got lots of stuff to do. But after you get those out of the way, they become kind of a second nature to you, even though you can refer to your checklist from time to time just to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. But after you get everything ready and you're ready to take off with your life or take off your airplane, you got four items here. And the first one is we've taken off. We've got 70, 80 miles an hour, and we're lifting off the ground. And the first thing you do is you turn your landing gear switch to raise the landing gear. And that allows the plane to go a little faster because you're eliminating the drag of those two wheels hanging down below the wings. So we lift up our landing gear up. And then the next thing to do is we adjust our power, which in a plane, instead of having a thing you press like on a car on the floor, you have a little push-pull type lever that determines how much gas gets into your carburetor. So you adjust that power to a particular, in an airplane, it's inches of manifold pressure, which is inches of mercury, kind of a technical thing. That we rely on so many inches of manifold pressure. And then also in the plane I was flying, it had a adjustable propeller. You could adjust the RPMs. So you also adjust your RPMs to a certain revolutions per minute as you're climbing. And then you adjust your attitude so that you're getting what's called the best climb speed. In my airplane, it was 96 miles per hour. So that was the third thing on our list. And then the last thing on the list as we're climbing after the takeoff is to turn the boost pump off, which is the fuel pump that you turn that on just to make sure you're getting gas to the carburetor. And it's kind of a safety regime to make sure you got gas in the carburetor. So you turn that gas pump on, the boost pump, as you're taking off. All right, so just four items there. Okay, so now we're just climbing out at 96 miles an hour and just letting the plane do its thing. Everything is pretty much automatic as far as the plane is concerned. However, as we're climbing out, we still have to pay attention around us. We don't want to just fall asleep or take it for granted that we don't have to do anything. As you're climbing out, you want to watch for other airplanes in the area, because most of the time you're going to see more airplanes in the airport area than anywhere else. So as you're climbing out near the airport, you always want to check around. So as in life, you you take off for your journey, you take off towards your vision, and you pretty much your body and mind will pretty much kind of do its thing once you set up your checklist and got everything properly set up. But you still need to be aware of what's around you in case there's something that happens over to that side or up or down or behind you. You want to be paying attention and be aware, be mindful of your surroundings. Now, you don't want to be distracted. So if I'm climbing out to getting to a certain altitude in the airplane, I don't want to be distracted and look down at the floor and see if there's something on the floor that I need to pick up or look around in the back seat. I don't want to be distracted. I want to be mindful of what's going on around me. So I'll be checking out my peripheral vision to see if there's any airplanes or any clouds that I got to be careful to not fly into, or if there happens to be rain showers or something around, you could go around the rain shower. So you're just being aware and being mindful as you're climbing out. So anyway, that's a little metaphor for your life, having your checklists. You've gone through those, and the more and more you do that, the easier it becomes because you kind of have a second nature, even though you can't have a little list there just to remind you of where you're going, what your vision is. And I have recommended over and over to have that list of those 12 or 13 visions or values that you have. Just have those available all the time. Have them on your desk. Have them at your office, have them in your pocket so that you can refer to them from time to time. And then after time, it'll be kind of automatic. You know what those dozen values are. So as you're thinking about something, ruminating on, oh man, my boss must be mad at me. What can I do to make him happy? You know, you realize that you're ruminating on something that probably you can't really solve. And you can just let it go. You just recognize there's something happening, and if you ruminate on it or try to worry about it, it's taking you away from your values on your list. On the other hand, if you just recognize what's going on, you had some emotion, some distress, you recognize for a few seconds, and then you move on, you're going towards your values because you've not let that affect you. You've accepted that something's happened, but you just continue on. Okay, let me go into another technique for training your awareness and mindfulness. We already mentioned that technique of the counting, 4, 7, and 8. Breathe in 4 seconds, if not seconds, 4 counts. Hold it for 7 counts and breathe out for 8 counts. Okay, another one that I find very useful, and these techniques you can do anywhere, just sit there. It only takes a few minutes at most. Another technique I like is it's a little more advanced and it takes a little more mindful thinking about to do. You can do it anywhere. You can be sitting, laying down. You can even be doing it walking. I do it often when I'm walking. The idea of mindfulness training is to eliminate distractions, eliminate distress, eliminate thinking that won't be beneficial to you. And so one way of doing that is to create something that your mind thinks about and only thinks about that. But at the same time, you're paying attention to how your body feels and how your body works. You're paying attention to any emotions that might come along with that. Okay, so the technique is, you start, for example, at the bottom of your body, your feet, and you head up towards the top of your head and trying to recognize various feelings that you have in your body. And you can do it very simply, or you can do it a little more detailed. And I'll give you the detailed version, and you can modify it to suit your particular needs. Okay, so what I often do is, as I'm walking, for example, I'll pay attention to what my skin feels from feet going up to the head. Now, why do I pick skin? Because the skin is the body's largest organ. So it has lots of nerve endings, and you can feel anything that hits your skin, whether it be something physical that hits it or something like the wind hits it or heat or cold. So as I'm walking along, I'll say, what can I feel in my toes? And you'll feel your shoes or your socks or something rubbing on your toes. And you just go up the foot. What do you feel, if anything, up to your ankles and up your legs, and just see what you feel. It might be the clothing that's touching your skin. It might be heat or coldness or wind. When I'm walking, I'll feel wind. So I can say, oh, I feel the wind there on my bare arms. And then just go up your body and see if you feel anything. I feel my shirt's kind of a little tight around the chest area. Go up in your neck. Oh, I feel the neck. I feel my shirt collar there on the neck. Up to the head, and I might be wearing a hat. So yeah, I can feel the hat kind of pressing on my scalp up there. And I can also feel the wind hitting on my right side because the wind's coming from the right side. So you're noticing all the feelings on your largest organ, the skin. So that's kind of your external feelings. All right, and then that only take about, you know, maybe a minute to do that. Okay, and then the next thing I do is I go through the muscles, see what I can feel in muscles. So I'll start down at the feet again, you know, as I'm doing walking in this example. I'll feel, oh yeah, I can feel the muscles of my toe aching a little bit, or feel my ankle aching a little bit. Go up your leg. Yeah, the legs feels fine. Oh, my hips feel a little stiff there. So you're just feeling your muscles inside your skin, right under your skin. And you might go up to your stomach. Oh, I feel a little tightness in my stomach area underneath the skin. Then you go up to your chest area. You might feel feel your heart beating or your lungs taking air in and out as you have that little pressure, that little feeling inside your body. Then you go up to your neck. Oh, my neck feels a little tight. The muscle's a little tight there. My shoulder's a little tight. Then you go up to your jaw and feel how your jaw muscles feel and your facial muscles. And you're just trying to recognize what seems to be the feeling of all these little muscles all over. And you got many hundreds of muscles in the body. So that would take another minute. So just in a few minutes, you've thought about, tried to recognize what's going on with your skin, and then underneath your skin, the muscles feeling, and you're just observing is all you're doing. So it takes your mind off of any worries you might have or any distress you have. And even if you have some ache or pain in your muscles or the skin, you don't ruminate on it. You just recognize, oh, yeah, that feels a little warm, or that feels a little tight, or that feels relaxed. You're just recognizing. That's all you're doing. So you're training day by day your ability to feel what's going on in your body. So that's our little second technique of training awareness and mindfulness so that ultimately your body becomes attuned, your mind becomes attuned to doing what it's built to do that allows you to more freely head towards those visions. That is our ultimate goal. So that's one of our techniques, and we'll go over some more techniques on the next podcast. And I remind you to subscribe to the podcast, and you can do that on any of your favorite podcasting sites. And this particular, my podcast is available on most every one of them: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Player, Anchor, and you can even find it on Roku TV through the iTunes channel. You can play it on your smart speakers and just about anywhere. So please subscribe to the podcast and then you'll be able to get each one automatically. You'll be notified each time we have a new podcast. All right. Thank you very much. And we'll check with you next time. And good luck on following your values. This is Don Brown with Mood Gym.